you watch that? Who let you watch that? Who let you watch that? Podcast, 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 podcast. Just like me.
Yeah. Just like us both, Andy.
Just like us. We're out of the loop.
Out of the loop is the understatement. Well, honestly, Andy, we're tired.
We are tired.
We were out late last night.
I am fucking exhausted, dude. But yeah. It's those things where you're like, oh, I'm ready to go. I am down to clown.
Yep.
And then, like, as closer as it gets, you start getting anxiety about things. You're yeah. like, I'm not sure. And then your body literally betrays you because you're pushing 40. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This was a mistake. I'm having the time of my life.
Right.
But this is going to hurt tomorrow.
Yep.
It is going to hurt.
And right now is tomorrow.
Right
and,
now is and tomorrow,
we are hurting,
guys.
We are hurting. But, hey, we're going to explain all the stuff that we were just mentioned right there. But, Andy, who are you and we?
Who are you and we? We, as a collective we, are a podcast. Individually, I am Andrew Diaz.
And I'm Gabriel Martinez.
And the together, we are called a podcast that is...
Who let you watch that?
Nailed it.
Yep.
Don't worry about any of that, you guys. We're back, baby.
We're back.
Back with an insanely fantastic episode, you guys. Hey... The road takes you on some crazy things. Summertime is here, baby. Live in the moment. If that means you have to take a couple weeks off for America's birthday for fucking having fun.
Yep.
Do it, dude.
Yep.
Do it, you guys. We're back now for you guys because we love you. We have missed you, and we are glad to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We absolutely are, and we knew that we were going to take a little break for summertime fun and adventures, and we said, hey, you know, people are going to be a little bummed out not getting a couple of episodes for – or not getting an episode for a couple of weeks. But what we're coming back with, guys, this is a special – I mean, this is a scoop. This is like
scoop,
news outlets are going to pick this shit up. So,
you guys, exactly, you guys. So we were going to come back. We were trying – you know, Gabe, we got into the – we got into the studio. We have a whiteboard behind us, and we start laying it out. Okay, we start planning out the weeks. Okay, what can we do this week, next week? We got the guests lined up. Where are we going to put them in? Where are we penciling them in? And then every once in a while, you just get a phone call.
Yep.
They call you up, and you're like, yo, we need to move this to the front of the board because
absolutely.
It's topical, it's exciting, and it's just something that you need to move the moon and the stars. You got to rearrange some stuff. And if it falls in your lap like it insanely does, dude, it's about who you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just happened. Our good friend, Jossy Boy, Joss, man, yep. He hasn't been on the podcast for a while. He gave you a call just the other day, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oi! I can't do his voice,
you know,
man.
Neither one of us can do
neither
his voice
very
well.
But he was just like, guys, I'm a big Hollywood guy.
Uh-huh.
I am. He's still... He had some shit. Josh
yeah.
is still our boy, but I mean, he's still the king of Hollywood. Behind the scenes, in
absolutely.
Front of the scenes.
Yeah, he's pulling the strings.
He's pulling the strings, guys. When you create Buffy, you can't
yeah.
you can't stop him.
Yeah, when you direct Avengers Age of Ultron, you're the guy.
You're the guy. When yeah. you get scared of
little monsters,
of little
Fred
monsters,
Savage.
Nothing can stop you except
yeah.
for Fred Savage.
Right, yeah. We're giving him shit because he's such a good friend. But
good
honestly,
friend.
The dude did us the solid of all solids. Thank you all, by the way, for listening to the podcast because we're on a list now. Andy and I are technically press
yeah.
because we do an entertainment podcast, essentially. I mean, we're talking about sometimes movies that are 30 years old, but...
all press is good press.
All press is good press. So... We get a call from Joss. He asks if we're free. This was on Sunday. And,
yeah, Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so last night was Monday. Today's Tuesday. We're recording, and then this episode's going out right away.
It is, you guys. So this one is coming in hot, you guys. He gave us a call, 4 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, guys, I got a couple tickets for you guys. How would you guys like to go to an exclusive showing of a little movie. You might have heard of it. And we're like, Joss, what are you talking about us? Talking about, dude. And he drops it on us.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to see Oppenheimer? And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, that comes out in like a week, bro.
Yeah. Tickets have been sold out for months, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen that, then they're seeing Barbie. They're mm-hmm. seeing that, then they're seeing Barbie.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, we want to see it.
Yeah.
We'll see it in 3 weeks when we can get a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
He leans in on the phone
mm-hmm.
real close. You can tell because
you can hear the breathing.
You can hear the breathing.
You can smell the popcorn on his breath.
I got you. I got you some tickets. Not only that, how would you guys like to see it with the cast and crew?
Holy shit.
What?
Joshua Whedon, are you speaking the truth right now?
Are you saying what you think we're saying?
Yeah.
You're going to take us to the Silver Lake 5 Theater.
Yep.
To see Oppenheimer elbow to elbow with Chris Nolan, Robert Downey Jr.,
Cillian Murphy. Yeah, Cillian Murphy.
With that fucking haircut.
With that haircut, with that gaunt fucking scarecrow look of him.
Dong for days.
He's got dong.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
The guy that was originally going to be Batman.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me with
this? No. So that guy, Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan's cousin.
Yeah.
Craig Nolan.
Yeah, Craig Nolan.
He's going to be there, you guys.
The rest. You know a little guy named Matt Damon?
Oh, if Matt Damon's there, you know who else is going to be there?
Ben Affleck.
Ben fucking Affleck.
And you know, so this was us speculating, but spoiler alert, everybody. We went to this thing.
We went to the shit of this thing, you guys.
And we met every one of these fuckers. And yes, Matt Damon was with Ben Affleck. And you want to know who else joined them, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. Jenny from the Block, J-Lo, was there.
She is perfection, dude.
The woman is exquisite.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Kind of a mean person.
Very mean.
She pushed that waiter down immediately.
She grabbed him by the chin and pushed him to the ground.
It was shocking.
Yeah, it was
because
crazy.
I think he was just like offering her a drink.
Yeah.
And he didn't say a word to her, and she smashed that shit over his head.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah, he just had a tray.
Looked great doing it, though.
Oh, she looked amazing.
She looked great doing it.
Yeah.
And, guys, this makes no sense. It makes zero sense, but fuck, were we excited, because I don't know. We've talked about him on the podcast before. I celebrate and applaud literally every single thing that Christopher Nolan has done. We've talked about his bummer of a movie, Interstellar,
mm-hmm.
but in actuality, dude, like, I think if I think about my favorite directors of all time, Chris Nolan is like at the top of that list. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. He's amazing.
I love him. And so, you know, speculating, is he going to be there? Am I going to get a moment to hang out, to talk with him, to ask him what it was like to, I don't know, anything. Chris Nolan, you guys, we are going to be there in the room with him eating shrimp cocktails for days, you guys.
Yep.
It's
there's so much shrimp cocktails, man. It was pretty crazy, but yeah, I mean, so we get the invite, we go, we're there, okay?
We're talking to Joss. We're like, Joss, like, what's the dress code for this, dude? Like,
yeah,
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. The writer's strike is going on. There's yes. supposed to be a hiatus
yeah.
on...
There's a full actor strike now,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
There's not supposed to be any premieres. Disney did that weird thing with the Haunted Mansion where, like...
They had characters.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Donald Duck's here. Like, what? This is stupid.
Yeah.
But I get it. You can't do these sort of things.
Right. Yeah.
So it kind of creates an awkward situation. It's like, wait a minute. Should we be going to this?
Right. We support the writers.
Yeah.
We support the actors.
You being a writer. You
yeah,
being
exactly.
an actor and
yeah.
everything.
Well, I'm not an actor, but
I saw you.
Well, I was in the movie.
Coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, definitely a writer.
Yeah.
So we're like, no, man, we stand in solidarity. What is this thing? And then Joss goes, it's not a premiere. It's not technically a press screening
yes.
either. It's a party.
And we're like, what does that
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. It's an invite only thing where they're inviting press. They're inviting certainly a number of A-listers. And it was basically like a party where the movie is going to be shown. Well, yes. you know, nobody's going to be talking during the fucking movie. Like,
exactly.
We're going to watch the movie. So it's basically like, yeah, it was breaking some rules and tap dancing around some things. But you guys, like, I mean, put yourself in our shoes.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't care what you're trying to do and hold out. Like, Gandhi hunger striking. I'm sorry. Chef Gordon Ramsay shows up with a turducken. Gandhi's breaking that shit immediately.
Exactly.
And he's chowing down.
Exactly. When Jenny from the block is kicking people in the neck, you're like, I am not missing a second of this baby.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I need to see this.
Yeah. What sealed the deal was when we found out, okay, yeah, all the greats are going to be there that we're talking
yes.
about. But for me, when I found out, oh, shit, the dude's actually in town. Leonardo DiCaprio was there. Master of Ceremonies.
He is going to be introducing everything. He's going to be talking. He's doing a full-on speech. And we're like,
yeah.
It's Leo, baby. We got to know. We got to know. We got to do it. So me and Gabe were like, fuck, we got to do this.
Yeah.
We asked Joss, hey, what's the dress code? Is it formal? Is it casual? You're saying it's a party. Should I wear some jeans, some nice jeans? What's going on?
Yeah.
Joss is like, I don't care what you wear. Just be there. We're like, what the fuck, Joss?
Yeah,
like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean, dude?
What are you going to wear, Joss?
I'm wearing nothing. We're like, yeah. I know you, Joss.
Yeah.
You might be joking. You might be 100% serious.
Yeah.
Because that's the fucking guy you are.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I've seen probably his balls more than I've seen my own balls, if you know what I mean, dude. Like, this guy is constant ball to the wall.
I've absolutely seen his balls more than yours. But yeah, no question. But, you know, what he ended up going with was the guy was dressed like Pinocchio. Like,
it was
lederhosen and a little hat. It was great.
It was odd. It was a choice. We love you, Joss. I think he got confused.
Same.
Because
yeah.
of the Disney thing. I think he thought it was like a costume party at
some
point.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's what it is. Like the Haunted Mansion thing, Lil Rel is dressed as like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
So like,
I'm going to do it too.
Yeah.
He looked good though.
He looked good, and a lot of people thought Oppenheimer was like, oh, this is a European Swiss thing. He was wearing like the Swiss lederhosen.
Exactly. He was doing some Oppenheimer like cosplay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like
no, he was Pinocchio.
He was Pinocchio.
He had the fucking
everybody.
Nose.
Yeah,
the
he
nose,
had the nose.
I don't know how he got the nose to continue to grow through the night too.
I'm telling you.
I don't know if he had like 15 different sized noses, but he just kept telling me like, I'm gonna lie some more.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Dude? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
He'd be like, I don't love Sarah Michelle Gellar.
And
like,
it would grow.
Fucking nose would grow. And you'd be like, Joss,
what is happening?
We know that's a lie. Come on, man. He'd
dude,
be like,
he had the popcorn bucket hanging off the edge of it at one point.
I know.
It was all just one big gimmick to him. And
the
I love
thing.
It for it.
It was great. It was awesome. I mean, he didn't need to. I mean, again, he's the king of Hollywood. He doesn't need to be there. He doesn't need to put on the spectacle. But he did.
But he did. And we thank him for
it. We thank him for it. Everybody thanked him for it.
We roll up, you guys. We roll up. I'm not going to lie. We rolled up in my Prius because we didn't know what to do. So we drive out to Irvine, California.
Yep. The IMAX down there.
We pull in. Me and Gabe are thinking like, I don't know. What should we eat beforehand? Is there even going to be food? It's a party. There's going to be food.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we stop and get some P.F. Chang's like lettuce wraps?
Just a little bit. That's never a bad decision to get the lettuce wraps.
It's never bad. So we're like, order to go.
Yeah, we got it to go. We figured like if there is food, we didn't spend that much.
Exactly.
So we can just ditch it. But if there's not food, at least we got lettuce wraps in our bellies.
At least we're covered. It's a movie theater.
Yeah.
Even though it's a party, we can get something there. At least
we're
not filling up on popcorn. You
right,
know?
Like, exactly. Popcorn, hot dogs, real flat ropes.
You got to – it's the move. It is my favorite thing to get at any movie theater now. You got to get these flat-ass ropes. I think they're called flat-ass ropes
by
brought
Sweet
to
Tart.
You by Sweet Tart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. So good. So flat. Mm. So sweet.
Yeah. So we've got our bag of P.F. Chang's lettuce wraps. We go, it's pretty wild. So you think like you'd go into the theater. No, there's a little like kiosk set up and there's an absolutely beautiful man. He's wearing a velvet suit.
Yeah.
And he's standing there and he's holding basically like, you know, at the airport when the guys come to pick you up,
yeah.
if you're fortunate enough to be that fancy, they have like your name on it. this guy, who's holding the sign, just says Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. And we go, that's got to be it. You know, yeah. Like it's got to be the guy. He's standing by like this, you know, employee entrance thing. We go, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not kidding. When this guy, like, he looks at our tickets, Andy had him on his phone. Guy lets us in. The door opens, I swear. Now, you know, it was staged at the IMAX there.
Yes.
Okay, and we're in Burbank, California. We're at the IMAX at the Burbank 15. And we go in this door. It's a theater. It's an IMAX theater, but it has been, I mean, there's fabrics and there are there are like clouds that have been, you know,
I don't
even know what they're made out of, but there's like clouds hanging in there.
You've been transformed into a different world, essentially.
Yeah, transported.
You're just, I don't understand a single thing I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's supposed to be an IMAX theater. Where's this big screen?
Yeah.
None of that is apparent anywhere.
No,
and
not
at
all.
And it's just like, is this a prep room? Are we going to go somewhere? Is this where we're hanging out and like conversing and talking to everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, there's these clouds like you're talking about. There's llamas.
Llamas.
Walking around
with
trays on them.
Yeah.
That just have appetizers and just little
There were so many little amuse-bouches. All right. You had cotton candy, which that's weird to just have that's a thing. There was cotton candy. There were tiny glass bowls overflowing with spaghetti and meatballs. Like overflowing. And then, just an homage to the Japanese people that were, you know, put to rest by Mr. Oppenheimer's things.
Yeah.
Several of the llamas, they were dressed as ninjas, which, you know, it's like it could be offensive, but, you know, maybe not. But they're dressed as ninjas.
It was a choice, I'll tell you that.
I think it was a great choice. And they're also, they've got full sushi. They've got sushi from down their little, like, llama ankles all the way up to their backs. It's this tiered thing, sushi. And I got to tell you, people couldn't get enough of that llama's sushi.
Yeah.
Like, they just couldn't get enough of it.
They had that guy dressed as a llama grating the fresh wasabi off to the side.
Oh,
dude,
my gosh,
it was insane.
Yeah, fresh. And it wasn't like the imitation shit.
No.
It was it was the root, and he's grinding it onto the board.
It was amazing.
It was wild.
I don't think I've had, like, I've eaten a lot of sushi, but I don't think I've had it, like, that fresh.
No.
Like, that bite, dude.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was incredible. So, Andy and I, we feel kind of silly, but were we the only ones with the bag of P.F. Chang's lettuce wraps?
No, we were not. Who do we see? Cillian Murphy, his fucking self. He's got that fucking haircut. I don't know if he got that role on that fucking Peaky Blinders show because of this. He is dressed exactly like that shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's Peaky.
We see each other.
He's Joseph Peaky Blinder.
We see each other. We hold the bags up like, you did it too.
He knew it. Yeah.
Gabe looks at him and he goes like, you're dressed up as the Peaky Blinder.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, these are my clothes.
Yeah. This is just how I normally dress, guys.
We're like,
get the fuck out of here, you jerk. And we're like laughing.
That's funny. And he's visibly upset. Like,
he's upset.
No,
yeah.
This is my normal clothes. Everyone thinks I'm Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
This is Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Not Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Cillian, man, we're just like, okay, dude. Like,
yeah, we understand what you're saying.
No Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy.
So
and
he's saying
yelling
that.
This.
Yeah.
Throws that fucking P.F. Chang's across the room.
Yeah.
Takes down two llamas.
Those llamas crash into each other. They spilled so much flaming hot Cheetos everywhere. It was fucking insane.
Did you notice, though?
Yeah.
He does this. He throws his shit, this fit.
Yeah.
No one looks at any of us.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
No one fucking cares.
Right. Yeah. This was Hollywood A-listers.
Hollywood.
We don't care.
This is a Monday night for Hollywood's elite.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we look at each other. We're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is going to be it.
Yeah. I know. We're like, that's how the night's starting with this fucking guy, like, losing his mind. So, yeah. So he throws his bag of lettuce wraps. We knew it was lettuce wraps because when it exploded on the llama's head, lettuce and shit everywhere.
Everywhere. That house chicken.
Oh.
In that llama hair.
Yeah. That's going to be a bitch to clean up. But you know what? Again, Hollywood A-listers, within 30 seconds, that whole thing cleaned up.
Professionals.
Yeah.
professionals. I would not expect anything less than Silver Lake's finest theater taking care of it.
Like, absolutely.
This is it.
Yeah, this is the Silver Lake IMAX 15. I mean, they're incredible.
They do God's work there.
Yeah, shout out to those folks. They did great. So that's Cillian Murphy is doing his thing. I go like, man, we could leave now. Like that was such a great interaction.
But
I don't think
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's Oppenheimer, man. Like,
we got to see this fucking movie.
We got to see the movie,
and we'll get to this movie, guys.
We will talk about the movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because fuck, man, we want to talk about trauma. This is gonna be up there. This is like,
yeah,
this is fucking traumatic, man.
Yeah.
The
movie is amazing, but yeah, it's.
But
it's,
we got to get there. We got
to
get there.
We'll get there. We're trying to paint a picture. So, all right. So we've got. That insanity just happened. Andy and I can't believe it. Andy takes this moment to ditch our bag of the lettuce wraps, and he goes and he sets it down. He's gone for 3 seconds, and Andy, who do you bump into while trying to ditch the bag of P.F. Chang's lettuce wraps behind the curtain?
Guys, this is it. I feel like a piece of shit because she walks right up to me. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't know what she looked like. And she just looks up at me and she goes, I know what you said. It's Florence fucking Pugh. In my fucking face. She's like, I know what you said. And I look at her and I'm like, do I know you? and she's like, I listen. I heard what you said.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, very nice to meet you.
Yeah. I still don't know who you are.
I'm so sorry, but like, you look familiar. Did we go to high school together? And she's just like, funny joke.
Yep. Yeah.
It's me, Miss Pugh. And I went like, oh no.
Yep.
Miss Pugh, I am so sorry. I did not. It's a comedy podcast.
Right.
We joke.
Yeah.
We
are goofballs.
We are goofballs. Yeah. I loved you in Midsummer. Uh-huh. I loved you in then. She's like, yeah, I bet.
Uh-huh.
They all did.
Yeah.
They all did. Except for you two. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because also at the same time, I'm like, what exactly did I say? Remember we talked about her face.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't favorable, but.
But I was like, I said I liked her, right?
We said
we liked her.
As it was pointed out later in the night, which she brought up late after we saw the movie and I got to meet her, because I didn't get to meet her at first.
Yes.
We made it clear I was the one that said the nasty shit about her. You were actually really nice about her. But yeah, she was pretty confrontational, huh?
She laid into me really hard at first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am so sorry. I heard good things about that movie where you bang Harry Styles. Like, I heard it was okay. And she was just like, you don't know anything about acting.
Yeah.
I am actress. And I'm just like, these people are insane.
Yeah. You got Cillian Murphy going crazy throwing lettuce cups. You got Florence Pugh
walking up
to you.
Who also, for some reason, knows my work.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm glad to have a listener.
Right. Yeah, we love you. Be on the podcast.
I think she's the Russian listener that we have every
week.
Oh,
shit. That's right.
Every week on Anchor. Great sponsor, by the way. We love you, Anchor. Thank you for everything you do for us. They give us the stats. There's always this one person that's listed in Russia. We now know that it is Florence Pugh, famous Russian.
A.K.A. Natasha Romanofsky or whatever.
Romanofsky from the Black Panther.
Black Windows.
Yeah. We love you, Black Windows.
Yeah.
But she's just laying into me. And I'm not a confrontational person. So I apologize to everything in front of her. Mm. I eat my own shoe, put my foot in my mouth, and just I apologize. I basically stand there begging her, like, Florence, you are great. You are amazing. I love you and everything you did. When you were in Winter's Bone, you blew me away.
Yeah.
And she was like, you motherfucker. That was Jennifer Lawrence. And I'm like, I don't know who you are.
You got to help me out.
When you were in, I don't know, Mockingjay, right? And she's like, Jennifer Lawrence again. And I'm like, please, you're in Midsummer. And this.
Yeah, and you're in Oppenheimer.
You're in Oppenheimer, I know that. Do you play his wife or something? What are you in this movie? And she's just like, you haven't even seen it. And I'm like, no one has.
No one has. We're here. Hopefully they start showing it soon.
she says the worst thing to me.
Oh.
She's like, I can't believe they gave you a podcast. You? A podcast? I'm like, think you anyone could start watching? She's like, yeah, I could see that.
Oh,
like,
what a burn.
I'm like, what I'm sorry. Burn.
Yeah.
I loved you in American Hustle. Jennifer Lawrence. And she just turns and walks away from me. And I'm like, I still don't know who that was.
Yeah.
I still don't know who she was.
So Andy has this horribly uncomfortable thing. And this, we've only been apart from each other for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just honestly, he goes,
I went to throw something away.
He went to throw something away and he's accosted by Florence Pugh. But so Andy's having this horrible thing. Meanwhile, I am having the time of my life because who do I meet? I meet Robert fucking Downey Jr.
Dude.
Robert Downey Jr. is walking past me and I go, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to be that guy. And I go, excuse me, Mr. Downey Jr. And he turns and he goes, oh, please, it's Robert. And he was like the sweetest guy. He shakes
my
hand.
Oh, my gosh, man.
As I'm shaking his hand, he does one of these where he like grabs my hand, pulls me. The guy drops down, puts his head between my legs, and hoists me up. I am now riding Robert Downey Jr.'s shoulders. I'm on his shoulders. He's still holding me like in a handshake position. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm laughing. I'm having a great time. And he goes, hold on tight, buddy. He grabs my legs and he's running. Tom Hanks does the same thing across the room to Emily Blunt. So Emily Blunt is Oppenheimer's wife or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
See?
Well, I mean, we saw
the
movie.
We saw it in the movie.
Yeah.
I still don't know who she was in Oppenheimer, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Pugh?
I don't know what she
Spoiler
did.
Spoiler alert. I think she plays the bomb.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Fat boy.
Exactly. So anyway, enough of that dumb shit. Emily Blunt, who is gorgeous. Tom Hanks, who's just there because he's fucking rad. Tom Hanks is dressed like a wizard. He has a giant fake beard on, but we know it's Tom Hanks.
You know it's Tom
you
Hanks.
You know it. He was talking about typewriters and all that shit, too. So he hoists up Emily Blunt from across the room. He holds on to her. I am engaged in a chicken fight, ladies and gentlemen, a chicken fight. You know, we're out of the pool. There's no water, but it's a chicken fight. In a fucking IMAX at the Redondo Beach 33 IMAX theater, I'm on Robert Downey Jr.'s shoulders. Tom Hanks has Emily Blunt. They're charging. Guys, I don't know what to do. I'm laughing. I'm like, this is surreal. This is crazy. I bring my phone out. I'm taking some pictures. And I'm getting closer and closer. Both of these motherfuckers are running full speed. Emily Blunt is also laughing, having a great time. We are about to collide, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. The etiquette for this is we get close, we just kind of like join hands, and you try to push the other one off
exactly.
The other one.
It gets very
in the pool. Shit. I spit everywhere. In the
I
pool.
Would too.
Yeah. In the pool. There's no water.
No.
So as we're getting closer, I'm like, what the fuck do I do up here? I can't push Emily Blunt. She's like an international treasure.
She's also very tiny. So
yeah.
Like, you're going to kill her if you push her off of Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Dude, he's like 7 feet tall. Tom Hanks is so tall.
It's insane.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm panicking. And suddenly, like, we get there. Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Hanks, they like meet hands and they're trying to like overpower each other. So thank goodness, like, they absorbed like the impact.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt and I are just laughing. Oh. We're along for the ride. We're having a great time until Tom Hanks overpowers Robert Downey Jr., gets super close to me. He leans in. Emily Blunt like is thrown forward and we like knocked heads like really hard.
No one really reacts at all to anything
right.
This whole night.
Right.
Except that sound. Like,
yes.
that was a noise that just took me out of the moment. It was, I think, is what distracted Florence, because I at that point really started paying attention to you guys. Like, what was that noise?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What is Gabe up to now?
Yeah, exactly. One of my classic blunders. I'm just a goof. So Emily Blunt and I, we knock foreheads. We hit so hard with such force. Emily Blunt dies. She is dead. Like, you can tell, she, like, blood is gushing from her nose. She falls like a like just a limp bag of potatoes right off of Tom Hanks' shoulders. She falls and she lands really hard on the ground. shit comes out of her ass like immediately. It just shoots out. It's everywhere.
It happens. I mean, yeah. she's this body.
Yeah. Oh.
The force. You're falling. You're on top of Tom Hanks. He's 8 feet tall.
He's so tall. Yeah.
The force in which you guys hit, she is basically like a little Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And just explodes everywhere.
She's an Oppenheimer, an explosion. So she lands. There's shit. There's blood.
Fecal matter.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's, well, she was wearing a gorgeous gown. You can't wear underwear with a gown like that.
Not with that. No. There's nothing there. No protection.
None. So she's just straight up ass cannon blasting everyone. So it gets. So again, I don't know if I told you guys this, but Tom Hanks is dressed as a wizard. So he had a cloak with stars and moons and shit on it. So she spatters that. He's furious. He cannot believe. Now, nobody knows that she's dead right now. This was revealed later, much later.
They thought it was just a classic Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt shit herself at another Hollywood party.
Yeah,
thing.
She's bleeding out of her nose. She famously gets nosebleeds. Yes. So everyone was like, well, that's no big deal. And oh, she shit herself. It's a little early in the night, but it's a classic Emily thing. So he's mad that there's shit all over his cloak. So he takes that off. He's wearing a classic suit underneath. It's just like, oh, so then he goes, well, I'm not going to keep wearing this fucking beard like an idiot. He takes the beard off. He rolls the beard in the cloak, and he just lays it over her. Everybody from that moment on just kind of like ignores Emily Blunt, because we're like, oh, out of sight, out of mind. Like, she's covered by the cloak. Like, the shit was almost entirely on the cloak. Everywhere else, they cleaned it up immediately.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, it's no big deal.
The Beverly Hills 15.
Yeah.
Great job.
They
once
do
again,
amazing
this
work.
This crew.
These guys are awesome.
They do God's work.
Yeah. So in the mix of all that, I guess Robert Downey Jr. forgets that I'm on his shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah. So Robert now just is like walking normally, going about his thing. He's eating some hors d'oeuvres. He's not addressing me, and likewise, he doesn't respond when I'm saying like, oh, that was pretty crazy, huh? Yeah. Completely ignoring me as if I'm not there.
You're an accessory at this point. You are a hat.
Yeah.
You are a hat.
I'm a hat. I'm a hat. I'm a feather boa at best.
And this dude, he's doing his thing, but he is quick. Uh-huh. Agile.
Oh, yeah.
And just hard to catch up to, because all I want to do, I've been accosted by Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
I just want to go hang out with my boy again.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know anybody here.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to go hang out with you.
Yeah.
Let's go see if we can fucking find Ben Affleck and ask him about them apples.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, hey, has he heard that episode? That'd be pretty great, you know? So Andy, I can tell Andy is like making his way over to me and Robert Downey Jr., and I'm still on Robert Downey Jr.'s shoulders. I'm like, okay, I'm going to just try to get down. I move my leg. Robert Downey Jr. gets real, like, aggressive, grabs my leg, and puts it back. So he's like, he doesn't say it, but it's almost like, no, you don't get to go. And I'm like, ah, shit, I'm stuck here. I'm stuck on Robert Downey Jr.'s shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy comes up, and he basically, like, comes to me, and he's talking to me. Robert Downey Jr. thinks you're talking to him, so he turns around. You guys start having this conversation, which you're really just trying to get me off of his shoulders.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Because I'm just like, Gabe, that was some crazy shit. Man, like, should we make some more rounds? Should we say hi to more people? To which every time you're trying to talk to me from up on RDJ's shoulders, and he's just, Robert's just like, I've met most of these people here. You know, I don't need to introduce myself. They know who I am. I'm like, yes, indeed. But like, hey, Gabe. And he's not acknowledging in the slightest bit that you are there. And I'm just like, I'm at a loss. What do I do? How do I get you down?
Right.
Do I go try to grab somebody else, put them on my shoulders and continue this? Do I need to win you from Robert Downey Jr.?
Right.
Is that what I need to do here? And for a split second, I thought about doing it. I fucking saw Rami Malek.
Yeah, he's there.
And I'm like, fuck, do I just grab his little ass? Do
that
put him up there?
Light. You could throw him up there in a second.
Could I do this? And then I'm going to challenge him. I'm like, no, he's not powerful enough.
Yeah.
I see Josh Peck across the way, and I'm like, maybe Josh Peck, man. He used to have some weight on him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to have like that fat guy energy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got strength now.
Yeah.
This is a bad move, though. These people don't know who I am. Robert Downey Jr. picked you up.
Yeah.
Of course. Right. Absolutely. Pick me up, Robert.
Yeah,
take
exactly.
Take me up there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick up fucking Josh Peck.
It's a different move for you to be like, hey, I don't know you. We've never had a conversation. I'm putting my head between your legs and hoisting you up, and then I'm going to go, I'm going to go chicken fight with Robert Downey Jr. with you.
Yeah.
It's a bold move that, unfortunately, Andy and I, you know, we're invited to the party, but you know, we're not in that crowd.
We're not in that crowd, you know.
It's the upper echelon thing.
I'm trying to figure out what to do. I look around. I'm looking for Joss. I'm like, maybe Joss will know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think I finally find my out, because who is coming out to introduce the movie finally?
Yep.
There's an energy about some people.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Tom Hanks is there.
Yeah.
You're on Robert Downey Jr.'s shoulders.
Right.
And you see him. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep. Great Gatsby himself.
I swear to the Almighty, this man glowed when he walked out. It wasn't a spotlight.
Right.
He wasn't floating, but he was emitting a heavenly energy. I don't know what it was.
Andy, you're so right. This guy, I mean, you can tell why these, whatever, you know, 17-year-old girls that he keeps banging again and again, you could tell why they are leaving their war-torn countries and just flocking to him on his yacht.
I get it.
Because he is radiant.
He is radiant. He is the Wolf of Wall Street himself.
He is. He is.
He is Gilbert Grape.
He is. He's the exceptional Gilbert Grape. So he is out here. He comes out. Everybody, you know, as Andy's saying, nobody's looking at anybody. Everybody's kind of like, oh, I'm too fancy. DiCaprio comes out. There's no announcement. There's no PA. There's no nothing like that. DiCaprio comes out. He's on like the stage of the screen.
Yes.
All eyes on him. Instant applause, standing ovation, everything like that. Robert Downey Jr. suddenly now acknowledges that I'm there. Gives me a little like sort of good job boy, like pat on the thigh, and then helps me down. No word, no nothing like that. I just got the pat on the leg, and he's focused on DiCaprio. I go like, Andy, this was it. This was our out. So we just, now Andy and I are like inseparable. We kind of step back, but now we want to see what DiCaprio is going to say.
Yes.
Craziest shit I've ever seen, guys. And I just saw Emily Blunt headbutt me and die and then shit her pants. This was even crazier, okay? Leonardo DiCaprio, he's up there. He goes, can I get a spotlight, please? Spotlight shines on him. Who knew they had spotlights at an IMAX? It's crazy. But that's...
They must have brought it in special. They must have.
Exactly.
It makes no sense otherwise.
That's what the Dana Point 15 does, though. They're a class act all the way joint. Their IMAX is better than anyone. So they got the spotlight. He goes, I'd really like all the house lights to come down. Like, just bring them down all the way. I want total black except for this. And they do it, and there's a hush over the whole group. And he says, ladies and gentlemen... shadow puppets. And he starts doing like different things, you know, I mean the basics. He does like the bat, he does like a little bird, he does
the rabbit.
He does the rabbit. Yeah, the classics and everything like that. And every time he does one and he looks back at us like waiting for something, so there's applause.
Yes, we give it to him.
Yeah, everybody has to, you know, you just give it to him. This keeps going, and he's now doing like the bat again.
Yeah.
And like the bird again, and then like the bunny, but now a bigger bunny. It's such a weird thing, and we're like, man, everybody else has to think this is weird. People are still like riveted. They're on board.
You could see it in their eyes. Like,
yeah.
This is why they came.
Yeah.
Like Oppenheimer is a nice little treat at the end.
Exactly.
This is the main event.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Leo doing his classic puppets.
He's doing his shadow puppets, which he only does for the A-list, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I never heard this.
I've never even read about this.
Yeah, like, never.
I'm constantly in the tabloids reading about all this
stuff. Oh, you are just a tabloid junkie, bud.
I consider this my job now. Florence Pugh apparently thinks it's my job. So, like, she's like, I got to stay current now.
You got to. Yeah, you got to. I mean, and I appreciate that, and I know the fans appreciate that. You're up to date on all of it. So, anyway, we're all just kind of baffled. This is amazing. This goes on for quite a while, and then eventually he goes like, ladies and gentlemen, Christopher Nolan. And everybody, it's light applause. You think they'd go nuts? Light applause. People
are
like, yeah, it's fine. He's one of us. It's okay. Christopher Nolan comes out. The two of them are sitting in these chairs, and it's, you know, house lights come back up, and it's like a little Q&A thing for a minute.
Yeah.
Andy, I mean, I don't want to embarrass you. You were pretty excited. Christopher Nolan was there.
I love the man.
Yeah.
Did I throw a pair of underwear at him? Yes.
Yeah.
Were they Emily Blunt's underwear? Yes. I didn't know what to do. Yeah. I wasn't going to take off my underwear.
No, that'd be a weird move.
Emily Blunt's, she ditched them somewhere. I found them.
Yeah.
When I was talking with Florence Pugh, throwing away that Chinese food.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to do this. Right. I got to throw at him. He loves me. I love you. Yeah. I love you, Christopher.
Yeah.
Nolan.
Yeah. Well, and that paid off. So Andy throws the underwear up there. Now listen, remember, God rest her soul, but Emily Blunt was one of the most beautiful women ever.
Yes.
Her underwear, very sexy, very dainty. Andy whips that up there. Nolan is blinded by, you know, the magic of the night. So yes. When he gets hit in the face with Emily Blunt's panties that I'm sure, you know, smell like roses and Twizzlers.
Exactly.
And Andy screaming from pretty far back, like, I love you. He's like, yo, I got to see what's cooking with this after yep. this thing. So they finish the Q&A. Clearly it's rushed at that point. He wants to get off that stage because he wants to see who threw those undies.
Because you could tell dude is engorged.
Oh, he's chubbed up.
He is aroused.
Yeah,
man.
You can see he was blaming it. Like when he stood up, he's like, oh, these are new pants. There's
the
a
pants.
They're pleats.
The pleats. He kept yeah. talking about the pleats. Like, dude, those are skin tight.
Yeah.
That is a boner.
Yeah, that's a full-on English chub, my yeah. friend. But he was saying, oh, excuse me, everyone. These are new pants. I know you're going to think it's an erection. It's not. The dude also very casually stuffed the panties, like, into his pocket.
Yes.
Like, so you're like, ooh, this is happening. So, and he just says, whoever said such kind words during the questioning, I'd be happy to meet you over here on the end of the stage. To which point we go, fuck yeah, let's go meet Christopher
yes.
Nolan. We run over there. Nobody else, everyone at this point is like, oh, I guess the unspoken thing was like, movie's going to start soon. So people start trying to find like seats amidst all mm-hmm. this stuff. You know, kudos to the Pasadena 13 because
yeah.
they start pulling away all of these like sheets and stuff, revealing the seats. Of course, there's assigned seating, you know, so they've got all this. Anyway, we run up. Nolan's there. I mean, the look on his face was like immediate disappointment, wouldn't
oh,
you
yeah.
say? You know?
Nolan, uh-huh. I'm the person that threw the panties.
Yeah.
They were my panties. And the look that he gave me, mm-hmm. like you said, was disappointment.
Yeah.
But behind that disappointment, Gabe,
yeah.
there was some curiosity.
Yeah.
He smelt that.
Yeah.
He was like, is that you?
Yeah. What do you got going on?
And he asked me, he's like, it's on the panties. That's you. I don't know why I told him yes.
Yeah.
I was starstruck.
You're starstruck.
The man made Memento.
Yeah, he's a genius.
He made Memento.
He made Inception. The guy's a genius.
He made
truly
Tenet,
is.
And I
yeah.
forgive him for that.
Yeah. I was gonna say whatever shitty look he gave us at first is no worse than the looks I gave the TV
yeah,
when I watched fucking
exactly.
Tenet. Yeah.
So he's intrigued.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little intrigued, dude.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, maybe we could have a life together.
Maybe.
Maybe me and Christopher Nolan. Maybe I'm his muse.
Maybe. He definitely kept that boner
yeah.
for a really long time.
And I it felt in that moment that I looked into an alternate reality where him and I did end up together.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew old together.
Yeah.
And I inspired his next couple movies. And sure, he got out of the more serious things. He starts making rom-coms.
Oh.
Will
can
they,
you
won't
imagine?
They.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And sure, it's career fell apart.
Yeah.
But he was happy with me.
Yeah. You
we
brought him
each
happiness.
Other happiness.
Yeah.
He was done trying to find it on the screen because
yeah.
he found it with me.
With you. Yeah.
And I could see it all, his happiness growing as we grew old together. We had corgis.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're summering in Nepal.
Oh my gosh.
And
you have to do that.
And I saw it at the end of in our lives together. I could vision it all. And I looked at him and I said, Christopher, sweetheart, they weren't my panties. And his face melted into a skeleton.
Oh, no.
And he looked at me and he said, like, betrayal!
Oh, no!
And I flashed back to that moment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, I can't do this. I can't move to this. And that look of shock in his eyes, too, is I feel like we connected.
Like he was watching it unfold, too.
And I don't know what sort of interstellar bullshit we went through in that
right.
moment, what sort of wormhole me and him went through.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever felt more connected to anybody and broke their heart as much as I broke Christopher Nolan's heart in this alternate reality where I lied to him.
And all this took place within like a 15-second glance.
For me, it was 90 years
yeah.
together with
yeah.
the love of my life, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
But it was a blink of an eye here.
Yeah.
Now.
It was a weird thing. So Andy and Chris Nolan share this 15-second like mind meld where they're going on this journey and it ends in ultimate heartbreak and betrayal.
Yeah.
And it was the weirdest thing. So, like, you know, Andy says sort of before he has this moment of realization, which apparently you shared with Chris, Chris was intrigued, and yeah. Andy was intrigued, and this was his whole thing. Well, I'm just standing here and looking at them. When I see the look on their faces now, I didn't experience what you guys did at all. I have no idea until
we
you
talked about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you didn't tell me any of this. Like, you know,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's, no, it's okay. So it was just this kind of awkward thing. And I'm like, well, the two of them are sitting in this awkwardness. I'm going to just leave it alone for a minute. When it breaks and they both look, Andy like has a tear in his eye and Nolan is like getting, he seems like visibly upset. Like he's angry, but he's also sad and wistful. And it's just this weird thing. And I just go, hey man, can't wait to see the movie. And he goes like, yeah, it's going to play like right now. I panic because I'm like, oh, fuck. He's, like, mad at me. Like, and of course he's going to play right now. The only thing I knew to do is, so I had pockets full of beef jerky. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, I have pockets full of beef jerky. It's just a thing I've done since I was a kid. And I just go, do you like spicy beef jerky? And I handed him what was in my pocket. I did not wait for him to say anything. I had the spicy beef jerky. I put it right in his hand. Like, so panicked, and he took it and he was like, I have done these parties for every single movie since Memento. I've done these parties every time. He's like, you are the first person to ever offer me spicy beef jerky. Do you know that's the only food I eat?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a moment.
It was a moment. It was awesome. So he gives us these big hugs and he goes, you guys are my best friends now.
Mm-hmm.
We go and we get to sit, and they have four golden chairs. It's Christopher Nolan, Andy, who sits next to him. I sit next to Andy, and the fourth golden chair, Andy, who was it? Who was that fourth golden seat that sat next to us?
Guys, you know who it was. It was the man, the MC of the night. It's Leonardo DiCaprio. He sits down with us, dude.
With us.
I don't know why. He's not in the movie.
No.
I don't know. He's just the A-lister.
He's just the guy.
And he's just there with us.
Yeah.
He sits down. He leans in real close to Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, did you see that shit with the submarine? Seagate? I fucking did that. And then he just sits in his chair.
Yep.
And leaves us with that.
Yeah.
I lean forward and I look at Gabe like, what the fuck did he just say?
Yeah. I told Andy, I go like, I think he just said that he did that. That he caused that. And Andy's like, ask him what the fuck he means. I turn around going like, I don't know that I can ask him that. Like, I don't think I should do anything. The movie starts. Immediately the movie starts.
You're stuck with this thing. Like, what does that mean?
Does that mean? And
I'm going through my mind. I'm running through every scenario. I am sitting next to my favorite director of all time. I'm about to see his new movie.
Yeah.
All I can think about is Leonardo DiCaprio causing the Seagate disaster.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? How did he do it? Like, what?
Why did
what
he do
happened?
It?
Yeah, exactly.
Did he really do it, or is he just saying insane shit because he's Leonardo DiCaprio?
Because he's Leonardo DiCaprio, and he can. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never know, okay? I know Andy's the write-up on this said no spoilers. I will tell you the one spoiler is not about the movie, but the party. DiCaprio left 10 minutes into the movie.
I did not see him leave. I want to say I felt him leave.
Yeah.
There was definitely
a
coldness in that room afterwards.
Yeah.
But I remember I looked over at one point like, when the fuck did Leo leave?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, as soon as there's got to be an intermission. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
I need to ask this man.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, dude, what are you talking about? How did you do this? So, yeah. So DiCaprio left, and I'm ashamed to say I didn't notice either. You could feel it.
It
was like the campfire went out, you know?
I was going to say the same thing.
There you go.
Just the air left the room.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, what?
You could feel that, and you're like, oh. And I just assumed it was the expert filmmaking, because what we were watching on screen is incredible. So the movie starts with what most people would consider the ending. So the movie opens with Hiroshima, and it's like devastating. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening? There's no CG. Christopher Nolan has famously said there's no CG in the movie at this point. It's crazy. So it goes from that to boom, teenage Oppenheimer. Okay. Yeah. He's in high school. He's getting bullied. All right. And this is England. This is the 1910s in England. And
yeah.
young Cillian Murphy, they did like, what's the technology where they put like,
prosthetics.
That's it. Yeah. Prosthetics. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. So they used prosthetics to make him young.
Yeah.
It's radical. It's crazy how they did it, but you could tell Cillian Murphy was on his knees and they had like duct taped his shoes to his knees.
I leaned over to Nolan.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah. Well, he's Chris now. You guys are pretty close.
And I asked him and I'm like, you got the inspiration from Tiptoes. And he looked at me and he's just like, you get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah.
Tiptoes, famously the amazing movie.
Yeah.
That he produced, if you don't know this.
He produced. And Gary Oldman starred.
Played a little person.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're pulling from that, aren't you? He's just like, you fucking get it.
Yeah.
You fucking get it.
That's so awesome.
And he grabs my inner thigh and I'm like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
We know how it ends.
We know how that ends. We don't want that tragedy.
He just smiles at me and he's just like, but what if?
Yeah.
What if? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm engorged.
Yeah. It's amazing. So I want to talk more about the movie, but Andy, I mean, I don't know that we mentioned like the shrimp that they had the fucking shrimp, dude.
I don't know how we've gone this long in the podcast without talking about this fucking shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
If a food could emulate the power of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
It was in these fucking shrimp, dude.
Yeah. 100%, man. Truer words have never been spoken.
I'm talking with Florence Pugh. She comes up to me. I know what you said. I'm not going to lie. That whole conversation, I had a fucking handful of that shrimp, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just eating this. I don't know who she is. Maybe that's part of it.
That could be part of the whole thing, why you're oblivious to it.
That shrimp, dude.
You were in a shrimp coma.
That shrimp was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about it.
I am too.
I had one of the best nights of my entire life.
Yeah.
I met, fell in love with, and lived an amazing life with my Chrissy Bear.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's one thing that I could bring back from that night,
mm-hmm.
I mean, apart from Emily Blunt, it's that shrimp.
Is that shrimp?
We gotta find that fucking shrimp, dude.
I know. It was incredible. It was incredible. The people were passing it. It was on the heads of all the llamas. Like it was the featured thing of the night. And I mean, it was like, it's impossible to even describe. It was like, I know it was shrimp only because you could tell it was shrimp.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but
it didn't look anything like shrimp.
Right, exactly. It didn't look anything like shrimp.
It wasn't the curls.
No.
It wasn't like cocktail. I don't even know how to describe it, but you would eat it.
Yeah, you'd be
was,
like,
this is shrimp.
This is shrimp. Is amazing. Yeah, yeah, like everything I've had up to this point is bullshit. This is shrimp.
Are you experiencing that now, too? Like, I had dinner before coming over here tonight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was bullshit.
Yeah, it's insane. So, yeah.
It was
so,
fucking trash.
Yeah, so I live really close to Momofuku, and so David Chang's a very dear friend. So I was getting Momofuku tonight, and normally that's some of my favorite stuff. I absolutely love it. You know, it's, you know, world-class cuisine. And I'm like, it tastes bad. And I called up David. I'm like, hey, man, did you guys spill a bunch of, like, fucking ashes into everyone's food? Because it tastes like garbage. And he's like, no, I don't think so. Like, we don't usually do that. So it was a whole big thing. Like, you know, I was on hold and he had to go check. And then, like, he calls me back, you know, because I hung up after. I was not going to stay on hold all day, you know. So he calls me back and he's like, no, there's no ashes in anything. And I'm like, well, it fucking tastes that way. And he's like,
fuck.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So he's devastated. But, so after last night, like everything is just fucking dumb.
I drive by the Long Beach, the Pike, the IMAX there where we had the premiere and everybody had the premiere.
Yeah.
And I drive by and I was talking with Tom Hanks said after the premiere.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know anything about this shrimp? And he's just like, come back here. They'll still have some around in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I go there and I swear, it's me and Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And we're walking around the Pike. We can't find the theater.
Oh.
And it was exactly like the movie Big. after the carnival.
Yeah.
And it was like we were looking for the Zoltan machine.
Oh.
Zoltar machine.
Yeah.
Not Zoltan. That's that awful Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, you don't mess with the Zohan.
No, we mess with the Zoltar. And it's me. And I look up and it's Tom Hanks. And we're like looking around for shrimp.
Yeah.
And we're just like, it's got to be here. And there's just trash blowing around the pike. And we're like, where's the theater?
Yeah.
It's not here anymore.
The theater's gone.
The theater's gone.
Yeah.
It was just here yesterday.
Yeah.
Where's the shrimp?
So yeah, I think, and it's going to come out this week, I think they built the theater for the premiere and then tore it down the next morning. And the shrimp, because I heard that too. I heard a lot of people, like Billie Eilish was there.
Yeah.
And she was talking about the shrimp. She's like, do you know, like, are they giving away the recipe for the shrimp? And I was like, I'm just trying to find more. And she's like, yeah, Phineas is fucking searching for this shrimp right now. He missed the movie. He went to go find more shrimp. And I was like, well, that's a shame because the movie's amazing. The
movie was great. Like, movie.
So good.
It doesn't stand next to this fucking shrimp.
No, no, that was the thing. I remember, you know, you connected really well with the guy, but I told him, I said, hey, Mr. Nolan, like, movie's amazing. The movie's a triumph. And I was like, you made a mistake serving that shrimp because that's all we can think about. And he was like, I know. That was the biggest mistake of my career. He's like, I didn't even pay attention to the movie. He's like, I just want that shrimp. And I'm like, dude, that's every one of us feel the same way. And so
I'm hoping that when they release this on special edition Blu-ray.
Yeah.
There's rumors right now. He was like, he's trying to make it happen. There's going to be a little satchel in there.
Oh,
you
my gosh.
You open up the DVD.
Oh.
It's going to be a pound of that shrimp.
Oh, my gosh.
Just
a
dry
pound
vacuum,
of it?
Dry vacuum sealed. Oh. Drop it in some water. It's all right. He says that the flavors still come through.
Oh, dude. I cannot wait. I'm online right now pre-ordering that.
He said he's going to text me the moment that it's on. That's
okay.
Live. Like,
all right.
He's like, we'll take care of you.
Sweet.
But if we have to wait 8 years for this DVD to come out, I mean, that's what they're talking about. The run of this run that it's supposed to have in the theaters.
Yeah.
They're saying it's going to rival Titanic.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be number one for years.
Yeah, they're trying to go multiple years, yeah. So
it's going to piss Leo off.
Yeah, I know.
We saw what he did to that fucking Seagate.
I don't know
what he's going to do to Nolan if they even remotely sniff that record of Titanic's.
It's going to be bad, but you know what? You didn't end up with Christopher Nolan. You're happily married to someone else. And,
I am.
You know,
I am.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a gift. You have to remind yourself. So listen, anyway, guys, we want to talk more about it, but we've already gone an hour. So I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
Go see the movie.
Go see it.
It's incredible. And as long as you don't eat that shrimp, you will enjoy it from the beginning to end. Like, you'll love this movie.
It's amazing, you guys. You're going to love it. It blew my mind.
Yeah. John Krasinski, though, he's poor guy. He was so sad. His wife is dead.
R.I.P. to the great one, dude.
R.I.P. to the great one.
R.I.P. to the great one.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, what else can you say about that?
Yeah. You know, never watch a movie with a kid unless it's Oppenheimer.
Unless it's Oppenheimer. You know, you could watch this with the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is totally safe. This
totally
is
totally safe.
Funny. Don't believe the hype. It's actually pretty positive.
Yeah, it's pretty positive. Sex scene was a little too long.
Sex scene was really long, but it's pretty neat. So
is that a spoiler, though?
I don't think so. I mean, most people, if Cillian Murphy's in something, it's in the previews.
It's
but
in
like,
the previous.
You just assume you're like, well, I'm gonna see that dong.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, do you see that dong?
It is a dong.
Yeah.
Those English guys with their dongs.
They're skinny and long.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's got to be in those fucking beans or something. I don't know.
It's got if you eat beans for breakfast, that's gonna thin your dong pretty quick.
Thin the dong.
Yeah.
But. Long.
It's long. Oh yeah, he gets no complaints there.
Yeah.
It's long. That thing is.
It's like you're checking oil with that thing.
Oh yeah, it's a dipstick.
It's a dipstick.
It definitely is.
Huh.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay, everybody, have a good one. Happy Oppenheimer.
Happy Oppenheimer, guys. I've become death.
You've just heard a Doomsday Initiative podcast. Consult a physician.